Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
Hey, what's up? My name is Chris Highfield, lead pastor here at Grace River Church, and I want to say thank you so much for watching online at home today. You know, my hope is that you take a next step on your spiritual journey as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. So we're going to jump right into a brand new sermon series called Red Flags, and we're really looking at red flags in our relationships. And the interesting thing about today's talk, we're going to talk about how words become weapons and what to do to disarm those words and to bring life into other people's lives. But what's super interesting about our words and about our relationships, the red flags that we see in other people, is I think we got to look at ourselves first. It's really easy whenever we're hearing a sermon or a teaching like this to think about the other people in our lives that we hope even get to hear this message. Like maybe you're thinking, oh man, I wish that my spouse could hear this, or I wish that my coworker, I'm going to share this with my coworker so they can hear it. I want to start, instead of us thinking about how words become weapons and are weaponized with other people, how it starts internally with us. And are the words that we're using, are they bringing life into other people, or are they tearing them down? Are we building people up, or are we actually breaking hearts when it comes to the words that we're saying? And the initial answer is probably, yeah, I think I'm pretty encouraging. But my hope is that throughout this teaching, you could look at yourself and take an honest view of what your next step may be and go, man, I could do better at encouraging others with my words. So let's jump into today's talk. Again, my hope is that you can identify some next steps. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says this in James chapter 3 about our words. He says, people contain all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil and full of deadly poison. I mean, he's essentially saying no one can tame the tongue. I mean, you think about all the different animals that you can tame, all the different animals that you can take through obedience school and get them to be obedient. He says the tongue is way more difficult than anything else. He goes on to say, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Like with the same mouth, with this same tongue, we can worship God. We can pray out loud. We can sing praises of his name. We can do all these things. But with that same tongue, we can also curse the same people that are made in the image of God. And blessing and cursing, so blessing and cursing can come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? It's like going to the ocean. You know that when you go to the ocean, you're going to get salt water. You're going to get bitter water. But when you go to a lake, you know you're going to get fresh water. And there's not a place where those two intersect, right? And in the same way, James says, man, this doesn't happen. Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. And so he's saying, like, if we follow Jesus, our words should be different. The things that we say to people should build them up, not tear them down. The author of Proverbs says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And so my question to you today is, you think about the conversations you had this week. You think about even some of the social media interactions that you had this week, because I would beg to also argue that those are also words that we use. Maybe they're words that we type, but they are still words that are expressed, and those words are just as, and sometimes even more dangerous than the words that we speak out. And so in the context of that, are the words that you're using bringing life to others, or are the words that you're using hurting people? Are they weapons? And so let's talk about what happens when words become weapons for a moment, okay? When words become weapons, they deceive. And you wouldn't intentionally lie to somebody, but I think sometimes when words become weapons, or you've even had words used against you like this as weapons, you've been misrepresented or misunderstood, or maybe you've been betrayed by a friend, or maybe you've done the same thing. Proverbs 10, verse 32 says, the lips of the godly speak helpful words. Are your words helpful? But the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Like, which one of these are you? And which one of these have been done to you? You know that words are weapons, and you're put on the defense automatically whenever you think about your words being deceitful. Other ways that words become weapons is they cut. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says this, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healings. Man, do your words stab people? Do they bring cutting remarks, or are they words full of wisdom? A red flag in your life is, man, if you have relationships where people are cutting you, like, or you yourself are cutting down others consistently all of the time, like, what are your words doing in your relationships? They also become weapons when they're full of anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make temper flare. And so, man, I wonder today, man, do your words incite anger in others? You may think, man, every time I'm around this person, they get angry. Well, my question is what are you saying to make them get there? They could just be an angry person. That may be the case. And as I'm talking, you're like, well, it's not me, it's them. It may be you, maybe. And it could be a red flag in your own life. It's, are you inciting that anger with some of your words? Are you stoking the fire? Are you poking the bear, right? Like, what are you doing to de-escalate the situation? I think sometimes we're only adding accelerant to a fire that's already burning in a lot of cases. And so, man, are you using your words like weapons, especially when it comes to anger? Do your words crush the spirit? Like, do your words kick people when they're already down, or do they lift people up? Proverbs 15, verse 4. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Man, here's the thing. You don't want to be a person that is crushing others. You want to be a person that's actually picking people up with your words, that you're finding ways to encourage people. Like, I want, when people walk away from me, to feel like they were encouraged, not discouraged. And I know that I've had moments, and I'm sure maybe even with some of you that call Grace River Church your home, maybe I've had moments where I had the best of intentions, but I didn't encourage you. I had the best of intentions, but my words did not bring life to you. But I'll tell you, man, one of the goals of my life is to be a life giver with my conversations, and I know I don't always nail it. Like, if you talk to my wife or my kids, they would tell you, like, Dad's not killing this. I'm working at it every day. But man, we all have areas and room to grow. And I even think about a conversation that I had with my daughter this morning. I could have been more life-giving with my words. I certainly wasn't a tree of life when I think about the conversation that I had with her today. But even as I preach this message, I think, man, I've got to circle back and ask for some forgiveness. I got to circle back and offer some words of wisdom, offer some words that are helpful, that build up instead of tear down. And so, when words become weapons, they cause grief. And you think about this for a second. Someone, somewhere, has said something to you, and it grieved your spirit. Like, it brought you more than just sadness. Because you think about this for a second. You can be sad for a moment, and then you get over it. Like, you watch a funny Instagram reel, or you see something that makes you laugh, and all of a sudden, you're kind of over it. But when someone says something that grieves you, it's something that it takes longer than an hour for you to get over. Like, it rocks your world a bit. You know, the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I think that rhyme is one of the biggest lies ever. Because, man, I've been there when someone didn't believe in you and they said something that just absolutely grieved your spirit. Man, when someone said something to you that you had an expectation that you were going to be encouraged by this friend, encouraged by someone that you love, encouraged by a parent or an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor or a coworker, and all they had for you was discouragement. They thought they were speaking reality into your life, but all they were really doing was speaking death to you. I'll never forget it. There was a guy named Chris Gamble that once told me, it was my junior year of high school, and it was the last day of our junior year, and he asked me what I was gonna do with the rest of my life, and I told him that I was gonna go to college and maybe be a pastor. And he looked at me and said, "You'll never make it." You know, I'll never forget those words. Like, that grieved me. I remember that whole summer, and as I graduate high school and go into my freshman and sophomore and junior year of college, even my senior year, I remember the day I walked and got my diploma my senior year of college and walked across the stage and received that. And I remember thinking, man, I did it. And I did it with God's help, and I'm a dummy, and it's amazing that it's a total miracle of God that I graduate from college to begin with. But it was, some of that was fueled from words that had grieved me in a high school parking lot. When a guy told me that I'll never make it. Like, that is just crazy. But you think about words that grieve you. And I'm sure I've said dumb stuff like that to people. And so have you. And so I wonder if we could identify these red flags. And instead of using words that tear people down, what if we used words that build people up? And so what if I decide my words can build hearts, not break them? And here's some key things that have to happen in order for that to happen. When they give life. Like, when your words are the kind of words that actually bring life to conversations, that bring life to the discouraged, that bring life to someone that needs encouragement. Proverbs 10 verse 11 said, "The words of the godly are life-giving, a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions." Man, I want my words to be life-giving, don't you? Like, words that would just bring people up, words that would make people feel like they were refreshed. You ever been thirsty and you just wished that you had a life-giving fountain? I want to be that kind of friend. I think that you want to be that kind of friend too. Like, and you don't need more friends that are going to bring you down with their words. Those are red flags. Like, you should look at that and go, man, I've got some friendships in my life that maybe I don't need. I got some friendships in my life that aren't actually helping me. Like, those, their words are tearing me down. Then I would encourage you to put some distance between you and those friends. So they give life. Also, words that can build up and not break hearts are this, man, when they provide healing. Proverbs 15, verse 4, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." When you think about a tree of life, it's a life-giving tree. It's a living organism. And man, we have a chance to build up hearts. We have a chance to encourage people. And so make the decision to say, I'm going to be an encourager. And man, we all have a friend like that. I hope you do. If you don't have a friend like that, my encouragement to you is to get plugged into a local church somewhere. Maybe it's Grace River, maybe it's somewhere else, and join a serve team, join a small group, and find a good friend that will encourage you, man. We all need a friend like that. I've got friends like that in my life, and it's so absolutely life-giving. And so when they provide healing, and so also words that are encouraging words, like, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to be an encourager. Proverbs 12, verse 14 says, "Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards." Man, what if you were the kind of person that was just speaking wise, encouraging words into other people's lives? Like, how much would that change the dynamic of your own life? That instead of, like, always walking around looking for the bad in people, what if you caught people doing the right thing? What if you caught people in your household doing the right thing and you said, "Hey, way to go taking the trash out. That was awesome." Or, "Way to go, the way you emptied the dishwasher. Thanks for serving our family. Thanks for helping us," right? But instead, I think that we walk around our homes and we walk around our workplaces looking for what's missing, assuming the worst in people instead of looking for, man, at least you tried. Thanks for helping out. Like, when somebody messes up at work, you should applaud them and say, "Man, at least you tried. Good job," right? Like, find a way to encourage somebody. You hear of something bad happening in somebody's life, they got a speeding ticket, or maybe they got a grade on a test they didn't like. What if you bought them a cup of coffee and just found a way to absolutely bless and encourage them? And so find ways to do that. And so words can build up, not break hearts. And so that's what you want. So how can you change your words? Maybe you've recognized, man, I've got some changing to do when it comes to the words that I use in other people's lives. So that's awesome that that's the place that you find yourself in. That's what we want, okay? But here's what it's going to take. It's going to take more than just feeling bad about your words. Like as you do like some just self-evaluation on your last week, it's really important that you think about, man, more than just I feel bad for the way that I use my words. It starts with, if you really want to change your word, it starts with your heart. So all of this whole sermon series is only behavior modification if we don't get to the heart of it. So I can tell you, don't cuss, right? Don't cut people down. Don't name call. I could tell you all of these elementary things, right? But that's a list of do's and don'ts. What if instead we said, at the very core of me, I have to change. At the very heart level of me, the red flag in your life isn't your words. The red flag in your life is actually, it actually starts with your heart. Look at this. Jesus himself says in Matthew 12, verse 35, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus is just saying, if you say dumb things, it comes out of a heart that is, it's just inside of you. And so make a decision to say, man, I don't have to clean up my outside. I got to start with what's in me. I got to start with the things that I'm consuming and the things that I'm thinking and the things that I'm watching and the things that I'm hearing. We are a byproduct of what is actually happening in our hearts. So if you listen to music that is full of anger, that is full of perverse talk, that's full of things that are not helpful, well, guess what? Out of the abundance of a good heart, good comes. Out of an evil heart, evil comes. And so what is it that you're digesting? What is it that's being downloaded into your life? If you're not careful, these evil things will sneak into your life and then evil comes out as a result of it. And so if you want to make a change with your words, my encouragement is it starts with you and God. It starts at the heart level. If you want to be more of an encourager to people around you, it takes more than just making a list and saying, hey, these are the 10 people that I'm going to encourage today. I think that would be great if you made a list. And I think it would be great if you decided to do that. But more importantly, I think it has to start at the very heart level that you're going to say, man, I want this good God to change me. And in order for that to happen, it has to be more than just a Sunday faith. It has to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday kind of faith. And so is that what you're living out today? And so if you want to change your words, it has to start with you changing your heart. The second thing is make a decision to decide, I'm going to respond slowly. So when people say goofy things to you, or people say negative things to you, what if instead of you responding quickly, you just decided, I'm actually going to respond slowly? And this is interesting because this is actually biblical. And, you know, again, circling back to James, the half-brother of Jesus, here's what James has to say. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. You got two ears and one mouth. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, how do you do this? What you do this is decide, I don't have to respond quickly. I think sometimes we get in arguments with people, and this is not just in what we say, but also what we type. So this is everything from Facebook, Instagram posts, TikTok, whatever it may be, everything down to text messaging, to words that we say out loud or words that we would even put in an email. What if you decided, I'm going to actually respond slowly? Sometimes, even if it's in a written document or a written form, I give myself 12 to 24 hours to respond. Why is that? Because I don't have to respond quickly. And sometimes the quick response that I have is not the most godly response. Sometimes the quick response that I have doesn't allow me to put myself in that person's shoes, to have empathy and sympathy for them, and to be able to respond in a godly way. If I respond quick, I don't have time to pray about how I should respond. And so I wonder today, what's the next conversation you'll have where you decide, I don't have to respond quickly? Whether it's a verbal conversation, right? Whether it's a conversation over the phone, a conversation through text message or through email or through social media, man, slow down. I think we live in a time in this country that we should slow down and put ourselves in other people's shoes and decide then, man, here's the godly way to respond. They may be wrong, right? They may not be right. That's okay. Like, we're not here to play referee. But what we are here to do is to love people well and to point them to Jesus. And here's what I know. Starting an argument never does that. I've never argued with somebody and thought, man, they're probably closer to Jesus, or I'm even closer to Jesus as a result of that, right? So make that decision as well. Another thing to do if you want to change your words is to say, man, I got to decide I don't have to win. You don't have to win. I think sometimes we are in this really competitive thing where I've got to win in every conversation. I got to win in every argument that I get into. And let me just defuse that for a moment. When you decide that you have to win, everyone loses. So make the decision to go, I don't have to win. When it comes to an argument, I can be wrong. I can miss the mark. We may both be wrong. There may not be even a clear winner. Stop deciding in your relationships that you're going to keep score. That's a red flag in and of itself. If you're just constantly walking around thinking that person owes me, I owe them, it's a red flag. Make a decision to say, man, I'm going to decide I don't have to be right. I don't have to win. In fact, we're all better when we don't do that. So some next steps to think about today. First of all, repent. And I think this is really important. Maybe you've said some words to people in your house, people at work, people at school, and you just need to repent. And friend, for a moment, let me just explain something with repentance. Repentance is more than just saying, I feel bad and I'm sorry. Repentance is like, I've got some heart work to do with God, and I'm going to stop living like this, and I'm going to turn around. I'm going to make a conscious choice to be and to live differently. It starts with repentance. Like, that's where it starts. Next time, restrain. Like, the next step for you to think is like, I don't have to say that. I can't tell you how many times I've wished I wouldn't have said something. Practice restraint. Practice going, okay, I don't have to say that. Repent, because out of a good heart comes good things, right? Repentance. Maybe it's just time to clean things up and go, I'm going to repent. Also, though, out of that is to restrain and then replace. Like, instead of using cutting words, instead of using words that break people's hearts, what if instead you use words that cultivated a heart? What if you use words that would build a heart up? What if you decided, I'm going to be the kind of friend, I'm going to be the kind of spouse, I'm going to be the kind of coworker and neighbor that is always looking to catch people doing the right thing? My commitment to you is I guarantee you that would change your relationships. It would change your relationships with your kids. It would change your relationship with your husband or your wife. It would change your relationship with your parents. It would change your relationship with a coworker that annoys you. Like, if you were just always looking for the right thing and being the biggest cheerleader in their life, how would that change things? So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you that you would know the next step to take and have the courage to actually take it. Let's pray together. Father, I'm grateful, God, that you're the kind of God that gives us second chances, third chances, fourth chances. God, I pray for the person listening today, God, that they would identify whatever their next step is. God, maybe it's the next step of repenting. God, I pray that you would just allow them to decide that they're going to turn their lives around and change the way they use their words. God, I pray for the person that needs confidence and the courage to restrain, to decide today and this week not to do the instinctual thing, but to restrain when it comes to their words. And God, I pray that you would help us to all replace negativity God, with positive, encouraging words that would bring a spring or a fountain of life. God, that we would be the kinds of friends that would speak words of wisdom and encouragement. And God, we can only do those things because you're a good God that through the power of your Son, Jesus, has changed us. So God, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I want to say thank you so much for watching online at home today. Again, my hope is that you take a next step on your spiritual journey as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, come hang out with us sometime in person here at Grace River, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock. God bless you. Have an awesome day.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.